Hi, everyone. I'm Laurel Simmons, and welcome to another episode of the Write Club podcast. My co-host today is Catherine Nelson Riley. Catherine, our guest today is Brady McDonald. Wow, wow, wow. What an interview, right? He's just, oh my goodness, he's just exploded since he moved from Canada to the U.S. And I mean, exploded in so many great ways. I think we have to let people listen to this interview as fast as we can because he's got so many ideas and he's just really just tearing things up, isn't he?
He absolutely is. He's got his 0 to 100 mindset, but it's not just a mindset for real estate investing. It is literally a mindset for his entire life and how he's been able to scale and grow professionally and personally and with his family in tow. So I think that for folks, don't forget to go on to www.thewriteclub.com, where you're going to find literally thousands of hours of resources free to help you in your business of real estate investing. But I think we should get to the episode right now so people can hear everything that Brady has to share.
All right, let's go.
Welcome to the Write Club podcast, where the focus is on helping you, the real estate investor, advance to the next level. And now let's join this week's hosts and share ways for you to customize your life.
Welcome, Brady. Thank you so much for joining the Write Club today. Tell us what's been going on. You've come a long way.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for having me. Yes, a lot has changed since I've spoke to you. I think it was a few years ago. You know, we were still back in Canada doing lots of duplexes, triplexes, 10 unit conversions and whatnot. But yeah, we're down in the US. We've been down here for a couple of years. And so we took the big transition in January 2022. And so I can't believe it's already been over 2 years, but some grassroots. Do you want to hear some grassroots?
Absolutely, we do.
So yeah, Cole's Notes is like, just to give everybody a little bit of perspective. So we started investing in real estate in 2015. And I was a utility arborist by trade. And, you know, we were just looking for what was next. I had a corporate job and I felt that I was, you know, had limited time freedom, limited financial capabilities, because obviously you can't just make as much as you want in the corporate world. And then of course I had personal development limitations as well. And so what we were looking for, what was next, met a guy who was a full-time real estate investor. And one of the things you'll get from me, which is kind of pairing with the 0 to 100 mindset thing, is if I find somebody that can do it, I know that I can do it too, right? And that's true for anything that I say today. If I can do it, you can do it, right? And it's just the reality. So, you know, full-time real estate investor, so I learned that it was possible. That's what we ended up doing. We bought a single family home, converted it to a duplex, and refinanced it and burned it. It worked. And we essentially, to keep this very short, did that about 7 or 8 times year one, about 20 times year two, quit the job in 2017. And then we were doing 25 to 35 deals every year since at that time. Later on in like 2021, we were doing more land development. So we ended up doing a lot of multifamily land development, land severances, learned a lot about the entitlement game with regards to land. And really creating opportunity versus, you know, just buying and sitting and waiting for it to happen. And yeah, and that's what ultimately what we got into the US is, you know, that's kind of what we're doing today, actually, is finding land, entitling it, and selling the paper to other developers for, we're wholesaling paper. And, you know, we'll take a fairly significant fee for that. And that's Cole's Notes to our real estate plays.
No, that's really good. And then that puts things in perspective. But one question I do have for you, though, is it's a big deal to move from one country to another. I don't care what country you move from or what country you move to. It's just a big deal because everything changes. So what was the driver for you to actually move from Canada to Florida?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've done a lot of 10x moves. I guess I've had a lot of courage at moments, you know, over the time. I think, you know, one of the big moves was starting real estate. Next one was quitting the job. You know, in 2018, after we quit the job, Christy and I bought a 53-foot boat down in Florida, and we cruised around the Florida Keys and did all the Bahamas. And at that point, we were about to take the boat back to Canada. We left it in Jacksonville, actually. And we actually, so this is in 2019, and we actually tried to get into the US at that point. But we were hitting all of the typical roadblocks. It was like, couldn't find anybody really to get good information from, being a Canadian, financing, how to find the deals. We really just hit all the roadblocks enough so much that we just stopped doing it. We just went back to Canada and did our thing. But when COVID happened, I had just finished the thing called the 75-day hard, and which is basically you work out twice a day. One has to be outside. This is for 75 days straight. You can't drink alcohol, which is a big thing. Sticking to a diet, drink a gallon of water a day, and read 10 pages of a personal development book. And when I told my wife I wanted to do this, you know, she literally laughed at me. And not because of anything else, but besides the not drinking, because I had been drinking like as a hobby, you know, and, you know, socializing essentially a sport since I was 15 years old. I mean, a lot of small town Ontario and, you know, actually everywhere in North America is very like that. But that's why this challenge was so worth trying. And I did it. I crushed it 75 days straight, did not drink. And what happened was like, I changed. I got clarity. I got confidence. I created this courage. And right at the end of that, they locked us down again. The government locked us down. And I took the family to Costa Rica for 4 months. And it was the best thing we ever did. We did a lot of real estate there. We just worked remotely, started a lot of like big developments in Ontario during that time. Getting to the US part is when we came back, we literally flew into Buffalo from Costa Rica and on a limo home, they locked us down again. It was announced. And I said to Christy at that moment, I just said, listen, next year we're going to go away, but we're going to the US where we can scale business. And we literally parked the idea until like November of 2021. And November came along. We're like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? December 8th, I actually packed up the vehicle and we didn't know a soul. We just had two kids, you know, a 2-year-old or a 1.5-year-old, I guess, at that point, and a 6-7-year-old. And we just went to the US and we literally went to a mastermind to figure out what everybody did down here, created a few relationships, hired a coach, and then bought enough properties down here, so many that we couldn't get out of it. That's kind of what we did. And then it was, you know, it was interesting. It's kind of like back to living like a hobo. I mean, it was like, you know, we were living in our flips again. You know, meanwhile, we just built a $3 million house in Canada that we lived in for only 6 months. But like, we can't get stuck at where we are, right? And I just knew like to get to the next level, I needed to get to a place that, you know, that kind of like just embraces growth, you know, and it's tough in Canada right now.
It's very tough. One of the things that you've done is you've actually opened up two separate businesses. So I believe you've got the Barefoot Land Company and you also have Brightwork Development. And those are fairly new companies that you have started since you kind of reinvented and customized your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we came down, we had still a big portfolio up in Canada. We still do today, actually. And it was under BK Real Estate Investing. And then when we came down, we started this Brightwork Development Company. And so what we ended up doing in that is we have a couple of big, like class A, 130,000 net rentable square foot facilities being built in that. And then we bought all the real estate that we bought a bunch of residential stuff that held us down here. So, and then we also had a mastermind. We had a Florida mastermind and a Grit mastermind. So that was all that Brightwork company. But when we were starting this self-storage development company, we actually got really good at finding land. And so a land for self-storage, which is, it's a unicorn, you know, it has to be certain size, zoning has to be appropriate. It has to have really strong rental rates and not be oversupplied. Like there's a lot of these key metrics that have to align. And then the zoning has to be good, right? So we actually got so good at that where we were starting to sell them to other developers and making like $500 to $1 million of revenue per site. And then we just said, like, I had some really great advice from a coach. One of my mentors, Ken Clothier, he just like, development is such, I mean, everybody wants to do it. It sounds sexy, but you have so many different businesses within the development game. You've got to, you know, do the entitlements. You've got to do the design. You've got to raise the capital, which is a job, right? Not only, yeah, you got to find land, but then you've got to build it. And then you got to manage it and all this stuff. It's like, it's impossible to be great at all that stuff. He's like, just to be great at one thing. And that's kind of where Barefoot Land Co. came out of the ground. It's like, so now we've got 14 or 15 people work full time. And that's all we do is source land. And do entitlements, and sell the paper to other developers throughout the U.S. and do it all remote.
So this really has significantly changed your life, your lifestyle, not just your life, your family's life. And I guess I'm reading between the lines here, but you have a lot more time with your family and to do the things that you want to do. Because yes, and you are running a business, and it's not like you can just walk away from them because you have employees and all the rest of it. But you're not responsible for the day-to-day minutiae of the business, I am assuming. I don't want to make an assumption here. Maybe you should correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm definitely the visionary. And you know what? We were extremely entrepreneurial when we were in Canada. We were pretty good at actually having systems and processes. That was one of the things I would speak on stages about. But when we came down here, you know, and it might be just the times have changed too, but, you know, software and the ability to work remote and the ability to access the data down here is significantly more significant. Well, and you can't even compare it to Canada, to be honest. Like, we are probably 15 years behind, but there's like the freedom of information. There's a lot of these things that really allow you to make a company and have systems and processes, like, as like just, I've created a real company, I guess, is what I'm saying. Before, it was like paper and people and had to do things. And now there's a lot more automation and we're data reliant versus we are people reliant, but we're more data. You know, there's things that, you know, you're not reliant. You're not as dependent on people doing things right because there's a check in the system that's automated. So that's really helped free up everybody's time and allowed us to scale relatively quickly. This company, Barefoot Company, we started in October. There was two of us in October, and now there's 15, right? So that was October of 2023. So it's happened very quick. We've got, you know, director of operations, managers, you know, and a whole team of people underneath that's all we do. But it's based on good operations, ultimately. And I think that was the biggest thing that I learned is, you know, we were trying to be operators in Canada and in our previous companies, even in Brightwork. We were trying to be operators. I'm not an operator. I'm a visionary. And once I hired an operator, actually I had to fire him because he sucked, but then we hired the second one. So we really started really crushing it in like January, because in late January is when we hired our director of ops. And now it finally feels like we've got a real company that can really scale, you know, and, you know, making sure that you have the right people on the bus. We were hiring before, we were hiring to solve the problem. Now we hire based on core values. You know, and that also has been a huge change in why we're having success now and why it was hard before. It's not that we weren't having success before. It was just hard. You know, you're always hitting the wall with employee issues or, you know, just operational issues. You know, it's just because we weren't the right people. We didn't have the right people on the bus.
Well, I think that for any business, what you're talking about, it's whether it's real estate, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
You need the visionary. You really need the leader. And then you bring in the managers, because leadership and managing is, they're different skill sets. It's different. And I think you're like, it's wonderful that you figured that out, because a lot of people go through their entire lives and never figure out the distinction. They just don't get it. And it makes a huge difference to your lifestyle. And just, you wake up in the morning and you're doing what you love to do and what you want to do rather than what you have to do, right?
Yeah, for sure. One of the books that helped me with that was the book Good to Great. And it talks about this analogy of the bus, right? And understanding, you know, what people need to be on it. The right people need to have the right butts and the right seats on the bus. But, and the other thing too, is once you get everybody on the bus, you don't need to necessarily tell the bus where to go. The bus will know where to go if you have the right people on it, right? And that really, you know, that book has significantly changed, you know, how we did this business versus every other one.
So I want to get a little more on the personal side, because before we started, you know, recording this interview, you were talking about 0 to 100 and the races you've been doing. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know that's fascinating. And I think people would like to know that, because you've taken this on as a personal challenge, right? And you were talking about the 75-day challenge. That's one thing, but you've gone way beyond that.
Yeah. So the 75 hard was the very first hard thing I did physically. It was also the first thing that, you know, got me dialed into my body, which, you know, then I could really see the difference of clarity in my mindset. But it was, you know, after we went to Costa Rica and then we came back and I was, you know, just back to socializing and being a regular Brady, you know, normal life, you know, I started drinking again, like just socializing, and I got the same tiredness and same cloudiness, and I wasn't sleeping as good. And I knew I had to get back to not drinking. And so I thought, okay, well, it must be something to do with being like the physical hard thing. So I signed up for an Ironman or half Ironman. And the results were the same. I had 4 months to train for it. I slowed down on the drinking, which means that you're sleeping better. You know, you're physically burning energy. You're creating energy when you're doing this training, and you're making yourself proud ultimately is what you're doing. Like everything changes, like your personality, how you show up for your family, your kids and your community and your business. And you get a lot more courage. So I saw that again. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm on the path, right? So I did the first half Ironman in March 2022. I did another one later in September. But then I kind of started being able to figure out how to drink socially on the weekends and stuff. And then it came back into my life, right? And what happened was in early January or early 2023, like just last year, like when the interest rates went like this in Canada, like we were bleeding like you wouldn't even want to know. Like it was, the properties were, we had some big developments going on, and there was $300,000 months and there was $800,000 months. And it was terrifying. And I remember and this is going to get to the endurance stuff, but I remember sitting on the boat in the Exumas, this big boat that we had, just thinking, what is going on? Like I need to do something, right? We'd lost my dad and like a few months prior, and he was a heavy drinker, and I saw my dad and myself in the future because I was using alcohol to make this go away. Right. And you can't just make that amount of money, appear, And so I ended up just making the conscious decision that it was March 5th of 2023 that I'm going to stop drinking, and I'm going to, do everything it takes to make sure that my kids don't ever go through the same thing that my dad just died from, essentially, that I'm kind of putting my body through. But I also need to solve some real freaking problems, because these were, a few months away from being bankrupt. If you can't start making payments on 70 properties in Canada and a lot of other stuff going on in the US. So I quit drinking, and that day I started training for a 50-mile run. It was in May of last year, and it was a run down the Florida Keys and 50 miles. So I ended up doing it. It was 119 degrees Fahrenheit. It was excruciatingly hot. And, it was the first time I realized that my mindset is certainly stronger than my body. I came across the finish line. We didn't know how bad it was, but, we hung around because we didn't, we were waiting to find out what place I was in. And so this took 10 hours and 40 minutes to cross that line. And turns out I started going downhill. And by 11 o'clock that night, my wife was trying to feed me and I was sick and I was puking. She just threw me in the vehicle and rushed me. She was going to rush me to the hospital. We ended up seeing an ambulance. Long story short, they literally, ambulance guys ripped me out of the car, put me on a stretcher, put the sirens on, and took me to Marathon, Florida, where I ended up having a 3-day stay in the hospital. So for rhabdomyolysis, and they ended up discovering that I had a heart, my heart was like this, and I had a hole in my heart, and dehydration. I didn't know where my kids were. I didn't know. I thought I ran in Canada. And I came around, and my wife was, Christy was super pissed. She was like, you are never running again. But my mindset was like, I'm just getting good. Like I am just this, this training took 3 months. In that 3 months though, also I solved all of that bleeding problem, right? Like I actually put millions of dollars of cash in the bank. I've never had that before. Like I solved real problems. Like I was just getting good. I'm like, it can't be done now. So it's like, what was next? And 3 weeks later, I did a thing called 29029, which is a Mount Everest simulation climb up and down a mountain. It was 29,000 vertical feet. It took like 20 hours, 3 weeks later. But the thing about that is like, I was shut down by the doctor. The doctor says, you can't do anything but golf. And so of course I'm in Canada. I actually was in Canada right after that. And I was calling around. They're like, yeah, we'll see you in like 6 months. So I was fortunate. I just didn't take no for an answer, which I think is another big lesson for everybody that's listening. Is like, it doesn't matter what it is. Of course, as long as it's not safety and related to somebody else, but like if it's in business, if it's in life, don't ever take no for an answer. So I ended up finding a doctor in Florida that gave me the clearance. And then I did that Mount Everest simulation climb 3 weeks later. And then that's where kind of zero to 100 was born. We realized that everything that I've ever accomplished is because I move fast. I don't take no for an answer. It's the level of commitment, the level of action. It's like, this is what we do. It doesn't matter if it's the big boat, the real estate, the quitting the job, the moving to Florida, you know, taking the family to Costa Rica, doing a 100-mile run, doing an Ultraman. It doesn't matter. It's just like, what's next? Let's go. Let's go. Right. And that's what, I mean, we're all on a journey, right? On a path, right? From zero to 100 or wherever we are. Right. So that's really where it was born. And so after that 29-29, my coach is like, what do you want to do next? I said, I want to run 100 miles and raise $100,000 for charity and for kids. And he's like, dude, that's a lot of money. He never questioned me, thankfully, on the run. But long story short, I did that. And I raised $100,000. It was at Jesse Itzler's event, Running Man. I ran 100 miles straight, didn't sit down once, took 22 hours. That's 160 kilometers. Right. So from basically Barrie to Parry Sound, I think, or Barrie to London, right? Straight. And while I had my feet in the chair, you know, and this was, so that was in October of 2023. What is that? 6 months ago, I guess, 5 months ago. And I had my feet up in the chair. My coach says, what do you want to do next? He's like, I can't believe I'm asking you this. But again, it's like, what's next? Right? Like, that is so important to have something, like something you're going to work towards on the calendar. I think it's critical. I think it's critical to have something on there that's hard and that when you accomplish it, you are freaking proud because there's nothing more. Because if you're proud of yourself, it's what you've done to the people around you is life-changing because they're watching us, right? And I said to him, I said to my coach, I said, next I want to do Ultraman. So, and that's what I just did a week and a half ago. And I trained for it for 3 months and it probably should have been 8 months. Like everybody else there was 8 months. I ended up coming third place male, but we can get into that. I'll just kind of pause because I probably just said way too much.
You know, well, I mean, you pushed yourself and I really liked what you said about you always have to have something to work towards because I really believe in that too. If you don't have a goal, I don't care what it is. If you're not pushing yourself, then you're stagnating, right? Life is about growing. And the minute you stop growing, I don't care in you know what aspect of your life, that's it. It's over. Because there's only two states of existence in this life. It's either you grow or you shrink and you die. That's it. There's no in between.
There's only one way to coast and that's downhill.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. And I think because it seems crazy to think, okay, you know, you're running 100 miles, you're doing these crazy 3-day things. January of last year, I ran a marathon. That was the longest run. Before that, it was a half marathon, right? So it just goes to show you that if you put yourself in the right situation with the right coach, with the right people, doesn't matter if it's in business and life and fitness, like you can do what you think takes you 10 years, you can do it in a year. You need to be with the right people.
Can I ask you a question? Because you got to pretend I'm your coach. So Brady, what's next?
Yeah. He did just ask me that. So I've got this thing. So 0to100.com, there's a 0to100-day challenge. So I've been doing this now for actually the first people that signed up to this 100-day challenge just past 50 days. So we have an accountability call every Wednesday and I obviously wasn't doing it because I'm doing this thing, but that's the next thing that I'm doing is I started the 100-day challenge 2 days ago. Today's day 3. And so what it is, you work out once. So in a 7-day period, you have to work out 7 times, right? And then so it's basically 1 45-minute workout per day. But because we're busy, because we have kids and life can be crazy, 2 of those days, you can actually double up your workouts, okay? So, and then eating healthy is another requirement. So no fast food, no junk food, no desserts, which is the big reason that I'm doing this because I crush like ice cream and cookies and like brownies and stuff like that. And then number 3 is no alcohol, right? Which is a life change, a changer for anybody that does even socially drink. This will change your life and is the hardest part probably for a lot of people. And then the last thing is just simply preparing for the next day. So because winning in anything in life, it's really about stacking the small habits. So what preparing for the next day means is making sure you're getting enough sleep, which is critical, 8 hours of sleep, making sure that you schedule your workouts the next day and that you've got your clothes ready and then you've considered what you're going to eat the next day, right? If you do all that stuff, then the challenge is actually done, right? You just, because you've already prepared what you exactly you're going to do next day. So anyway, that's what I'm doing next. Oh, and we're also in May 3rd, we're running through the Grand Canyon and back. It's called Rim to Rim. So from the South Rim through the Grand Canyon to the North Rim and back in one day. It's 47 miles, which is like 80 kilometers, something like that, 80 or 90K, and 12,000 feet of elevation. So that's just kind of like a fun thing we're doing with some friends.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, it's going to be hot there too, isn't it? Because as I recall, it's not exactly cool in the Grand Canyon.
It could be hot. Yeah, it could be hot for sure. Yeah, the weather right. in Arizona is all over the place.
I know that in the show notes, we're going to tell people where to go, like to be able to look at your program, because I think that's really cool. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to be really interested in that. But now, Catherine, I think it's time for the lightning round. And Absolutely. So, Randy, we're going to just ask you series of questions. Catherine will start, and it will be, she'll ask one, I'll ask one, and it's only four questions, and it's not a test.
Okay.
Catherine, let's go.
Okay, Brady, if you could tell your 18-year-old self something, what would it be?
That's a no-brainer. Stop drinking, right? That would, I guarantee, so if I stopped drinking when I was 18, I'd have a fleet of jets. I've said that on stage many times. That is the truth. It is just slows you down so much. We just don't know it. Number two is obviously getting into real estate. When I was that age, I was making $100,000 a year that time. I didn't start investing in real estate till I was 30, right? So that extra 10 years, you know, would absolutely change where I am today as well.
So my question is, if you could travel anywhere in the world right now, say, okay, we finished this interview and off you go, where would you go? If you could snap your fingers, where would you go right now?
Yeah, so we've got Thailand is one of the things on the vision board and Africa and taking the kids to Africa and doing a safari and kind of hanging out there. And yeah, those are a couple of places that are on our vision board for next.
That would be fun. That would be, yeah, we'll have to have another podcast after each one so you can top us up with that information.
Sounds great. Yeah.
So what's a fun fact that most folks wouldn't know about you?
Oh, you know what? That's interesting because I'm pretty much an open book, right? Like if you go on my social media, there is nothing on there that I don't hide. So I honestly don't even know if there is a fun fact. Yeah, because I'd say everything on social media that nobody would know. I don't know. I'm going to have to take a pass on that.
Okay.
All right. And last question then. What do you think is the one characteristic that's made you the most successful?
Yeah, I think the ability to just not be satisfied with the answers, that's the average answers that, you know, you get out there and always just striving for more. I think that's it. I mean, it's just that constant urge to want to get better, to want to be better, to be, you know, not be average, right? To be, you know, more successful and become a better human. I think that's just one, like that desire is, it's just there and it's innate. It's obviously, it's just like, what's next? How much bigger? How much better we get? And I think that drive is ultimately what, you know, it's a 0 to 100 mindset. Ultimately, it's just like, you know, so the level of commitment is so great that, and having that vision is imperative, but with that mindset and a vision of where you want to go, you know, like that is, I think, really what's driven me to where I am today.
All right. There you go. Okay, Brady, what's the best way for people to reach you? At an email or Instagram or Facebook, or whatever?
Yeah, Instagram or Facebook. So my handle is at brady.mcdonald84. I mean, I could give you my email too, brady@barefootlandco.com. But yeah, I'd say Instagram. And then, you know, check out 0to100.com. I mean, I think that's where, you know, we can help you. We do one-on-one coaching and we also help Canadian investors or Canadian entrepreneurs come down to the US. So if there's anybody that wants an E2 visa, we help people all the time do exactly that. So my email, social media, hit me up anywhere. We're always willing to hop on and chat and help.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you, lady.
Until next time. And I can't wait to hear what stories you have the next time. Because you know, it'll be what next time, 10 or 100, but the next time we speak. So it's going to be a great ride for you, and I'm really looking forward to the story.
We're just getting started. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brady. Wow, Catherine, I just think he's so amazing, and he's you know, you can see and hear his passion and what he's doing, and not just what he's doing, but how he's doing it, and how he's, everything in his life is lining up through his mental and physical and emotional development, right?
It absolutely is. And one of the things, so when we first met Brady and Christy, one of the things that they had excelled in and learned through process of elimination and error as well was the importance of systems and procedures. And they've been able to transpose that from Canada and into the US and to be able to help others maneuver all the different aspects of how to move from Canada to the US, how to do business, what are the ins and outs, not only in your professional life for real estate investing, but also for going from zero to 100 mindset. He's an ultra runner. He's an Ironman and over $300 million real estate expert. Like, wow.
Well, you know what? We're going to have him back, I think, in the not too distant future, because there's so much more he can tell us. But until then, everyone, have a great day, a great week, and go out there and customize your life. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Right Club Podcast, where the focus is on helping all levels of real estate investors advance to the next level and help you customize your life. Be sure to tune in next week at rightclub.com/podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you get a few seconds, please rate the podcast wherever you're listening. It helps the show get noticed by others like you, and we truly appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe.